There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion, John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to our installment Tuesday night, September 5th, of the Parts Unknown radio blog and our AMMA Radio Masters show. Tonight we have a very special guest, and that is Miss Karen Eden Herdman, and we'll be bringing her on in just a little bit. Before we open the show, again, thank you for letting us come into your home tonight and share with you the history of sport karate and martial arts in America. I can't not believe that we've been doing this for a year and some of the incredible interviews that we've done throughout the history. But tonight's show, again, we like to always start out with our dear friends down here in Texas and wishing them the best of recovery. And we want to let people know that the Sport Karate Museum Archives and the AMA radio show supports two different groups. And one, of course, is the Red Cross. So if you'd like to contribute anything at all, please go to 1-800-RED-CROSS, and they'll tell you exactly how to get involved with any type of donation you'd like to make. Also, we have a very special fundraiser. Text Harvey, H-R-V-E-Y, at 90999, and it automatically you donate $10. And you say, well, $10 is not very much, but $10 is a lot when you combine it with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of people that do it. And right now, you got to remember the people that left their homes, they left with nothing except what they could carry. So they have nothing in these shelters. So anything you can contribute, whether it be $1, let alone $10, it helps the people. There's a couple guys that we really want to mention and give our prayers and thoughts to consistently every moment of this disaster, because they're martial artists and they're part of the Sport Karate Museum Archives and very special to all of us here in Texas who does sport karate. The first one we'd like to make a shout out to and wish him all the best in his recovery is Don Moon Mullins, a little brother of Skipper Mullins, the famous fighter of the 60s. Don's house was engulfed, and I saw him just the other day in a boat outside his home, and he was talking about how he's helping other people in his time of need. What a great guy. He's a great, great fighter and still is a great part of the martial arts. Another shout out to my dear friend from Dickinson, Texas. His school was engulfed and also his home, Mr. Al Garza. All our prayers and thoughts are with you, sir, and your recovery, getting back to where you were at. Also, someone who's very special to the heart of the Sport Karate Museum, Mr. Lee Ordonio and Larry Ordonio. And their school was engulfed also. We wish them the very best. And also on that list is our dear friend and Sport Karate Museum Ambassador, Mr. Bear Lobe. Bear Lobe, I saw today, he's making a full recovery. His school is being recovered. His students are working hard. And Bear Lobe is not only competing in the COD Awards this year, he helps runs it through Juventex and is a big part of what we do at the Sport Karate Museum. A big shout out also to my dear students and my sons and my partner school, Sheehan Darling McPherson Pagels, and the Anahuac Warriors, and that's what I call them. They're Anahuac. Anahuac was completely covered in water, and the parents and the kids really stepped up with the new school and helped to get recovered. And I saw where they're teaching tonight, and the Coach G, Sheehan Darling McPherson, and Coach Willie Hicks, I wish you guys all the best. You know, every now and then, you know, people ask me, you know, how old are you, Mr. Lee, and how long have you been in martial arts? Well, I can tell him that, first of all, I'm pretty old as dirt, but I remember back when there wasn't any kids in martial arts, and particularly there wasn't any women. There wasn't any girls. There wasn't any ladies. There wasn't any women as we know today in the martial arts. And people look at me and they say, well, that's kind of strange. I just can't imagine women not in the martial arts. Well, I can tell you there was a time when women weren't involved in martial arts. And then there was incredible people that helped it develop into sport karate, people like Mikey Rowe Moore and Faye Halliburton and other women of martial arts that brought it to the fore, like Lenny Rodriguez and so on. Through the years, there's various women that really have stood out, and there's so many of them. But this one particular tonight, the lady I'm bringing on tonight, she has really done it all. And I'd like to welcome one of the most prolific martial art ladies of the decade and one of the most versatile ladies in the business of media martial arts. This is a tournament competitor. She's a fighter. She's a writer. She's an editor, a star actress, stunt woman. She's an author, a master teacher. She's a motivational speaker for the Native Americans. And yes, this lady martial artist has done it about everything. With appearances around the country, with book signings and a new book, and soon in production, she will have her own radio blog with the AMAA Masters Radio in October. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. You know, it started in 1994 when she made black belt under C.S. Kim in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, her forte was fighting. And she was proved that at the Mardi Gras Championship by winning second place in her division. Her style, Tang Sudo, maybe is because she is part Native American and also from a Shogun heritage. And the combination of both makes her very, very, very special. Well, she is now known as a writer, and a pretty darn good at that. She writes for two magazines, Taekwondo Times and Century's publication, MA Success, and columns around the country. Her love of the pen and paper started at 15 years old, and she became a professional at 19 years old. And throw in also, she was a television meteorologist, weather person in Roanoke, Virginia, lead roles in movies with Cynthia Rothrock. Well, it just makes her one of a kind deal. Please welcome to Parts Unknown, the AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio, Miss Karen Eden Herdman, a lady of many talents. Hey, Karen, are you there?
Wow. Thank you, Professor. I'm really honored. Did I really do all that? You sure?
Well, I do my research. You know, I live on a writer's mentality, and I get three things that are positive, and if they're consistent, I write it. If I don't get three things, and I did on all of your heritage and history, I don't write it. So pretty much when I say something, it's a man of a good word and good responsibility to find out where it came from. So the only thing that maybe wasn't true was the fact that I left out that you're a beautiful, beautiful lady in your heart and also in appearance. So God bless you on that
level. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. But, you know, when people talk about you, how you, it just doesn't, it sounds like it's all way too good. Like, did I really seriously do all that? But, you know, I'm like you. I've been around a while. I did most of it, I guess. And I just thank God for every opportunity I've ever had. That's about all I can say about that.
Well, we are very lucky to be around the people that that are mentors. And you and I, even though you're much younger than I am, we've lived being around the older guys who helped create this in America, whether it was traditional martial arts or was it sport martial arts. And this radio show really works on bringing out people's individuality, much like the book that we recorded of, you know, what Jesse Bowen had put together. It's not a Hall of Fame or so much a popularity book, but it's about each person's story. And that's what this radio program is about, to be able to talk to everybody and bring their story to the forefront. And I really mean this from the heart. I remember a time when there wasn't any women in martial arts. So when we have someone like you to come forth and step up and do what you've done, it really makes me kind of proud, you know, that I can sit and talk to someone and talk a little bit about their history. So with that said, can we talk about how you started? Who influenced you first, and how did you make black belt in what year?
Absolutely. And, you know, I get that question probably more than any other question. It's all I got to tell you, I'll call you Professor Gary. I got to tell you two questions that you and I both, I'm sure, get all the time is A, how did you get started? And B, have you ever had to use it? Those are the those are the two biggest questions I get, and I kind of feel a little bad because how I got started, somewhat of a deflated answer. I can tell you that I grew up in less fortunate circumstances, and I always wanted to train in martial arts, and my family could not afford it. So when I became employable as a young, actually a teenager, a young girl, and I went on with to hone my career, I decided that I was going to do it, and I was in Pittsburgh working in radio at the time, and I actually walked in. It was a C.S. Kim Karate affiliate in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, and Mr. Joe Bruno was my first instructor off the street, and I just never looked back, and that's been 27 years, and I still absolutely love it.
Well, that's pretty impressive, and now you teach full-time, too, now. You teach also, correct?
That's correct. I don't teach for money, actually. I started an inner-city martial arts program. When I moved to Denver, I got a job. I moved to Denver because I got a job with Fox News in Denver, and that was in 2000, and I wanted to do something to make a difference in my community. It's not like I had a good job. And I wasn't worried about the money, and I started an inner city program that has since taken off, and is, because it was through the Salvation Army, it's practically, I mean, it's all over the world, Moldova, Africa, I mean, all over the United States as well, and they just operate through the Salvation Army. So I set that program up, and now I have enough black belts under me that go into the city and do what I did just here in Denver. So what I do is I oversee the programs and I teach instructors classes, and then they go out and they teach in various parts of the inner city. So it's something I had no idea would take off like that, but evidently God had his hand on it.
Now, did the meteorologist job working in the television media, did it for the stunt work and the movie stuff, or with the movie stuff before that?
Before my inner city program?
Before you did the television stuff, I mean, when did you start the stunt work and the movie stuff? Was that beforehand or after?
Oh, no, that, let's see. I did one movie. I did stunt work in one movie. That was a Van Damme movie, and I'll never do it again. I didn't really care for it. It's a lot of work and really no glory in it. It was a movie called Sudden Death. And that was it with the stunt work. And then I had a feature role in a Cynthia Rothrock movie in like the, I don't know, about 96, 97. And I play actually a TV reporter. So that's what I did with Cindy in that movie. You know, Cindy also comes from my background, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit later as far as martial arts. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, no, as far as my TV career, I went from doing about 12 years of radio as a young teenager, like 15 years old, and then I got into television in my early 20s, and that career just really took off, and counting everything, a good 20, 25 years in broadcasting media, you know, before I started doing other things, martial arts-related things. But that's while I was in Denver, and I trained – go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you. It's your show, honey. Go ahead.
Well, I was training under C.S. Kim when I was working for Fox in Pittsburgh. So, and then I had some other smaller jobs before I got that job as well. I lived in Pittsburgh for 15 years. So my career really took off in Pittsburgh, of all places. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to throw in bits and pieces of when you mentioned someone special. And you mentioned Cynthia Rothrock. Well, I know that you're close to her, but I got to tell you a story about Cynthia that I'm really proud of. I've been on a cover of a few magazines, but one particular was Official Karate, and Steve Powell, Robert Halliburton, rest in peace, and myself were on Favorite Fighting Techniques, and Cynthia was on the cover. And but my story goes deeper than that. 1982, top 10, Leo Fong and Ron Martini's tournament, an up-and-coming Jose Frenay, who no one knew about, was from Canada. First American karate tournament, and some up-and-coming girl named Cynthia Rothrock was competing along with some nobody named Gary Lee. But the three of us, we won our divisions, and we went for grand. And Cynthia's first grand championship was the top 10 nationals in Stockton, California in 1982. And I took a third place to Jay Pernay. And I knew that Cynthia was special. She beat us that day with her hook swords. She used to double hook swords. And she had an amazing technique where she would lock them together and then use them like a watch her perform. So my question is, you got to work with her on a set, and the same question people ask about Mr. Norris and stuff, is she as good as people think she is, or is she all just movie? I know
the answer already.
She's
the real deal.
Just,
well, yes. I mean, she's the real deal, and of course, she comes out of the same camp I do. She is also a C.S. Kim Crotty protege, and, you know,
she does
a lot of work out of Scranton, and that was her hometown. And Eric Kowaleski, and his father, they were also, we all were tied in with the Tung Soo Do, and C.S. Kim was considered a founding father of Tung Soo Do. So he was in Scranton before he was in Pittsburgh. So she was way ahead of me. I mean, she had long gotten to her career before I think I'd even started training in Tung Soo Do. But, she comes out of really, really good, tough, traditional martial arts. You get into Tung Soo Do out of some of those original Korean masters, you're the real deal. There's nothing you could say about it. Everybody knows it, I think. You know, but
well,
yes, she's definitely the real deal.
The general public, or even my listeners, there sometimes is someone who's just under the hype of the umbrella of being a movie star or celebrity, and people like Cynthia and Mr. Norris and other people who've been in the movies, Don Wilson. They're the real deal. They're amazing, amazing martial artists beforehand. And you know, like I said, yourself that got to work with people like that, you understand that they're the real deal, like yourself. I mean, I want to ask you another question, too, that pertains to the movie stuff. You know, making a movie is hurry up and wait. Have you ever gone out for a movie and maybe didn't get the part, or a part that you wanted and you didn't get it, or –
You know, when I was younger, that was something I pursued pretty heavily, to be able to get parts in movies and things of that nature. And I was fortunate to get those two roles. And honestly, I decided that really it's not something that I was interested in.
Sure.
I mean, I just it's not my life's goal, especially now at this time in my life. I really am not interested that much. I mean, I still get occasionally scripts thrown my way, and I honestly just kind of take it as a grain of salt. If it works out, wonderful. Outside of that, I really don't pursue movies heavily like I did when I was a younger woman. And I've really changed and kind of grown from a different internal aspect, I guess you could say. But I wish everybody well in the business. And, there's a lot of wonderful talent out there, and a plug to another Tung Soo Do practitioner, my buddy Steve Ross, out there this weekend in Southern California. He's doing an event to try to help up-and-coming martial artists get in movies.
Yes, yes.
And Cynthia, Don,
yes.
They're all going to be out there. And I'm sure it's not too late if you just want to hit up Steve Ross and hit him on Facebook. The guy's always on Facebook. And I'm sure that he can accommodate you.
It's worth it just being in the same room with people like TJ Storm, Art Camacho, Cynthia Rothrock, and Don Wilson. Just have those guys look at you and say you have potential to be in a movie. And if anybody could do it, Mr. Art Camacho could do it. You know, September, I think, the 16th, or I'm not really sure, they're going to have his celebrity roast in California at the Dragon Restaurant. So,
What a great guy.
He's an
awesome guy. And a funny story about him, back in the early 90s, like 92, we both were on the cover of a magazine. I have to go look in my hall to tell you which one it is, because I don't remember. It was Secrets of the Masters, January 1996. And I didn't know who he was. I've got the insert cover shot, and he's doing a flying sidekick over my head. I just met him last year in person, and it was funny. I said, "You're the guy doing the flying sidekick over my head. Of course I knew the name, but a lot of us.
His instructor is Eric Lee. His instructor is Eric Lee.
Right.
So he's the real deal, right. too. Absolutely.
Well, a lot of us owe a lot of gratitude to John Corcoran, who was there's a founding father of martial arts writing. It's him, and he helped put a lot of us into the forefront and the spotlight. For me, it was writing and magazines and things of that nature and books, and you know, I just owe a world to John Corcoran, and so does Art and Cynthia. All of us do. I mean, he's the one who came out and gave us a face.
Let me throw my two cents in there too. Mr. John Corcoran is also the very first Editor's Choice Award that the Sport Karate Museum gave back in early years. So he received the first one along with Michael James, the editor of Black Belt Magazine. So, you know, John and Emil Farkas should be commended on what they did with not only their book, but how they've kept the history alive and accurately kept it alive throughout the years.
Oh,
and
yes.
I commend John.
Absolutely.
I commend John 100%. Now, you're here and you started that at 15 years old, but you write for two particular magazines, famous magazines, Taekwondo Times, and again, the Century's publication of MA Success, which is edited by John Corcoran, who we just finished talking about. How did you get involved with them, and what exactly is your columns about?
Okay. I was actually a professional journalist by the time I was writing for Karate Magazines. I was working for an NBC affiliate outside of Pittsburgh in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And I was a reporter and then weekend meteorologist, which seems to always have followed me, to be a weekday reporter and weekend meteorologist. That's what I did for a long time. And so I actually submitted something to CFW Enterprises. They're no longer in existence, but John Corcoran was one of their editors. And he got a hold of it and he contacted me by phone and said, you know what, this is pretty good. I said, well, I really am a journalist and I really am a black belt. And he goes, why don't we work on a feature write-up of you and see how it goes? And we did that. It went really well. And he offered me a column, and that was for a magazine that doesn't exist anymore either. It's called Inside Taekwondo. And since then, John Corcoran and I have, I'm fortunate. He likes like five people. I shouldn't say it. You know, let me say it. He likes like the writings of like five people. I'm fortunate to be one of them. Seriously. He likes my style and he's always been very supportive of me. And, you know, that's how that started. And, the Taekwondo Times, one magazine led to another, and Taekwondo Times, it's now, I've been writing for them for over 20 years now, and they've changed management quite a bit, but, they're still hanging in there with, you know, the column writers and the features, and they're still doing pretty good. So, you know, with electronics, a lot of the actual magazines, the paper magazines, are going by the wayside. So to be able to see martial arts is still very doing very well with the magazines is, you know, I love picking up a magazine. I would rather do that than look at anything electronic, but it's good to see that they're still hanging in there with everything, you know.
Well, you know, with that said, I'd like to say something to my listeners, and I'm very proud of this. You know, every year, the Sport Karate Museum Archives handpicks the Editor's Choice Award. And this year, I'm very excited to say that Keith Yates, who is the person who invented Kato, and Alan Steen's right-hand person down in Texas, he's getting the Editor's Choice Award. And someone who is very special, who I'm talking to, Karen Eden Herden, is getting the Editor's Choice Award. How do you feel about that coming from the Sport Karate Museum Archives to be recognized like that?
I got to tell you, Professor, I'm so honored. I truly am very, very honored. You know, and to see who you've had get that award in the past, you know, those are some big footsteps to fill, and I'm honored that I'm even considered in the same category as those guys, and especially my mentor, John Corcoran. And you know, I know Keith very well. This is another funny story. I know Keith Yates because we actually wrote a book together. My first major publishing was one of those idiot guides, Complete Idiot's Guide to Taekwondo. And because I'm a Tungsido practitioner, I couldn't write the technicality of it. So John Corcoran got Keith Yates to partner in with me, and he co-authored the Complete Idiot's Guide to Taekwondo, and he wrote all the technical aspects of it, and I wrote the rest of the book. But, you know, he was such a pleasure to work with, and I know he's a nice guy, and I am so looking forward to finally meeting him after all these years at your event coming up at the end
yes.
of March. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, Keith Yates is on the AKBBA board that was created by Mr. Alan Steen, and to help test Ishmael Robles and Gatsu Tabaris and Mr. Tor Dorsey for the 9-3 black belt. But that is the special part about the 25th anniversary of this year's event, is that people are coming together that have never either met or admired each other through the years. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to ask you another question about Karen Erdman. I want to ask you directly, you know, now that you've accomplished this amazing career, you've done something very, very special. You're a motivational speaker for the American Native American, which you're part heritage of. You have American Indian blood in you, but you also have, and this is really cool to me personally, because I am Samurai. I live Samurai life. I understand you have a Shogun heritage. Explain to my listeners the both, and I believe that's what makes you very special. I really do. I believe you have a combination of two incredible heritages that make you a very special individual, besides adding the martial arts to it. But explain to me how it came about, but how it has affected your life, being a speaker for the Native American Indians, and also had a heritage of Shogun.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll start with the House of Oda. A lot of this stuff I really didn't even know. I had heard through my family that we are the offspring of Shogun, and it could never – no, I don't think anybody ever really tried to prove it. And then it all started with a kimono that my mother gave to me that had been in the family for over 100 years. And I actually have pictures of myself in that kimono and didn't even know what I was wearing and proclaiming when I was putting it on. So you got to understand something about kimonos and symbols, man. It's a big deal. You don't wear something that you don't, you know, like a kimono or carry a sword that has such high esteem and honor unless it's part of your family lineage.
Right.
So I ran into, it was actually here in Denver, a police officer, Kurt Richter, which I appreciate so much. He was helping me down where when I was doing some work in the inner city. And he was also a Japanese historian, and he knows everything in the world about Shogun swords and Shogun symbols and Japanese house of Shogun, you name it, he knows it. And when he saw the picture of the kimono, he goes, let me see the picture of the kimono. He saw what they call the kaimon imprinted on this kimono, linked me into the Shogun warriorship, which was the house of Oda. Oda Nobunaga is his name. And that was the Mokuman Kaimon. And once I discovered that and you know, discovered the symbol and some other pieces that had been passed down, you know, I was beyond honored. And now I kind of could figure out how come, you know, I'm like the only one in the family that cares about martial arts. But if you go back, you know, back into the 1600s or 1500s or whatever, then, you know, obviously I got that gene to just have an incredible love and desire for martial arts. So I kind of say that's where it comes from.
Well, that's amazing. Talk about the Native American now.
After, you know, the Native American is so difficult to prove if you're from any of the Eastern Woodland tribes, which would be east of the Mississippi because of what happened with them in the American Indian Removal Act. And it took 3 years. I had to work with genealogists from the Daughters of the American Revolution, which I'm a part of that organization, and the genealogists out of Washington, D.C. even worked with me and went to Kentucky and discovered a lot of paper trailing that could not be found in my Native American lineage. And it finally, after about probably over 3 years, I did pin down my ancestors who are Cherokee. I got their reservation numbers and I've got their Drennan roll number. So, you know, once you get that, you know, you're pretty good to go. And then I backed it up with a DNA test. I took several DNA tests, and some of them were very good to show Native American, and some of them were not good to show Native American. And a lot of that, matter of fact, I'd like to say that a lot of people out there have heard in their family that they're Native American, especially Cherokee, and they'll go to Ancestry.com and take the test. It'll come back zero. Don't worry about that. That's not necessarily the DNA test that's going to be able to prove Cherokee. I don't want to talk bad about any business, but, you know, it's a spit test, and it's according to the samples that the company has. So you just keep pushing and look for other ways. And if it's really in your family, at least DNA-wise, it'll show up. And then if you can do what I did and paper trail it with genealogists, even better. But anyway, people ask me, Professor Gary, I have 14 nationalities, sir. I have 14. These are just two of the 14 that are very prolific with me. I'm also very, very much a European descent, just like everybody else in America. But I really feel Native in a lot of ways. I look in the mirror, I feel like I see a Native woman. You know, I relate to the sorrow and the way of thinking, and I really wanted to try to make a difference in the Native American youth of this country. They're going through some really hard times. They have twice the suicide rate, twice the alcohol and drug abuse rate. The women are so terribly abused and have crimes committed against them that you would just, God forbid, whatever happened to anybody in your family. And they're so short of police staff on these reservations that nothing's ever done about it. Women are disappearing, and they can't find them. I mean, by alarming rates, Native American women are disappearing. There's so much going on in the Native American culture. These people were pushed aside. They went under the radar. They're not in the spotlight, and they've got a lot of problems. And they're more American than anybody. I mean, if you're a Native American, you're probably more American than anybody, and that this is something that needs to be dealt with. And I really have a heart to do that. So I'm teaming up with some other masters that have Native American descent, and I'm also working with the American Indian Committee and the Daughters of the American Revolution to try to make a difference, to go in and even bring martial arts into these areas to try to give these young people a sense of self-worth, discipline, and focus to make a difference in their lives.
Well, that's an amazing answer, and I commend you on that, because I, being Hawaiian, I am a Native American, and I understand the plot. But you mentioned something that I think that people have forgotten because of all these other umbrellas that America has endured about our Native American heritage and how they played an influence in everything that we do. I particularly enjoy the spirituality of the American Indian people and their belief in nature and their belief in the animals and so many things that are folklore that you and I know of, the spirits and the we call now the karate angels, or the spiritual angels that look over us every day in every day of our lives, whether it be through faith or through our belief of faith of what's around us. The American Native people need to be encouraged consistently, because they are plotted against every day by the society. So with you and other people like you doing and contributing, I commend you so much on that. And the Sport Carter Museum wants you to know that we're behind you. Anything that you want to do that we can get involved with, we want to help you too. You know, wow. We're fixing to take a small break and pay some commercials. I'm going to be back in just a moment and with you, but please stay on the line and listen to what I'm going to say here for the next few minutes and talk a little bit, but I'll bring you back in probably just a few minutes, and we'll talk about the Legends Name Game and also about your up-and-coming show that you're going to be my sister show produced by Jesse Bowen and yourself, and we'll talk about that coming up, okay?
Wonderful. Sounds great. Thank you, Professor.
I'll be right back with Karen Eden Herdman, amazing lady of the martial arts of the 21st century. Well, you know, guys, as we interview Ms. Herdman, I want everyone to realize, again, that women have really stepped up to the plate to make home runs throughout society. And listen to Karen's interview and what she's talking about and what she's done and what she's doing today. It makes us very inspired to be a part of whatever she's a part of. We have an event coming up right around the corner, 3 weeks away in Houston, Texas, by way of Sugar Land, Texas, which is right next door. And it's called the Kata Wars. Of course, it's labeled as the Living Legends Celebrity Roast 25th anniversary of Mr. George Minshew. Now, Mr. Minshew is a mainstay tournament producer and legend in Texas, and been in the Karate Olympics, and the person who gave out the very first ring for sport competition. Mr. Minshew laid the groundwork for many people, and many people in the martial arts, not only as a trainer, but also as an innovator in the business aspect and promotional media and so forth. His roast is going to be people who will be roasting people like Louis Vasquez, Jamie Cashin, Daryl Stewart, Louis Jones, Jim Buten, yours truly, Professor Gary Lee, along with, though, a special entertainment package for the weekend for people who like to come in on Friday and Saturday, of course. So, and not in a particular order per se, Friday starts with a Jim Ronan Harrison tribute. And for people who know who Jim Harrison is, his legacy is amazing. He's 81 years young. And the whole dedicated day of September the 29th is dedicated to him with 10 free seminars with a banquet ticket, $20 for the whole day for all the seminars, one or all of them, leading up to the Black Belt Legends Test, which opens up with Mr. Fred Simon singing the national anthem. J. Pat Burleson tying the belt around Mrs. Mikey Rowe Moore for his sixth Don. Mr. Jim Miller is being promoted by the Sport Karate Museum to eighth Don, and Mr. Steve Gibson to sixth Don. And then we'll be introducing the AKBBA Board of Executive, heading in by Mr. Judge, Roy D. Kirbin, Mr. Keith Yates, Mr. Phil Wyman, Mr. Ray McCallum, Mr. Golly Bum, Ms. Linda Dinley. There's going to be a crew of AKBBA executives there coming in for that event. Mr. Steve Selby, of course, too. At 7:30, Jim Harrison's tribute day of some of the famous fighters that have actually gotten the ring with Mr. Harrison. We'll talk about stories and leading up to a special guest spokesman and motivational speaker, Mr. Steve Parks. And then at 9:30, the one and only Rooster Mackin's 52nd birthday party. Saturday morning, Kata Wars, the tournament of tournament champions that will be presented for all contestants, all styles, white through black belt. And that will be Okinawa Karate, Japanese Karate, Korean, Chinese, three-man team kata, weapons, breaking, everything except kumite will be at this tournament. And we'll have a grand champion for children, a grand champion for men. At 1 o'clock will be the pro division, and that's where 10 hand-picked grand champions have been chosen to be going against for the pro division against 15 wild cards from the Sport Karate Museum. And these are people that have been first-place finishers hundreds and hundreds of times in their competition this year, but have never competed against each other ever because of protocol, age, sanctions, even ego. But the Sport Karate Museum has paid their entry fees and said, look, guys, let's see who the best black belt kata competitor in the country is. And we'll certainly see at 1 o'clock in the ballroom at the Houston Galleria in Houston, Texas. Leading up at 5:30 will be great. 6 o'clock will be the show for the 25th anniversary with the awards, the banquet, and a show that you will not want to miss for the 25th anniversary Legend, Living Legend Kata Wars. And that is September the 29th and 30th, Houston, Texas. For more information, you can call me directly. It's 713-483-0476. Find out more about the Sport Karate Museum. Go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. We love your comments and be able to see what we do and how we support and protect the history one warrior at a time. That is Kata Wars. And if you want to sign up, go to myuventex.com. Click on Kata Wars, the new technology. Put your picture in, put a little bit over your profile, and you'll be on the television screen that Juventus does for all the new tournament promoters today. One of the best software platforms for registration. Big shout out to Sheehan Darling McPherson and producing this event, and the vision of the Sport Karate Museum to put together an event like this for kata and bringing together the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and year 2000 sport karate. One of the magazines actually dubbed yesterday as the largest sport karate reunion in America. Wow. I am overwhelmed at that. And I certainly can believe that with all the people that are coming. So get your room, call me for a ticket, and we'd love to have you at Kata Wars and the 25th anniversary of the Living Legends Celebrity Roast. With that said, we're back now with our special guest, Karen Eden Herdman, a prolific writer and one of the most talked about versus the media subjects in the sport karate today. Karen, are you there, honey?
I'm right here, Professor.
Super. Now, we play a game that's mandatory now for this radio show, and it's called the Legends Name Game. And maybe some people don't know some of the people, but if I leave someone out, please mention their name. It's like a minute to talk about them. Tell me what you think about them, yay or nay, and positive or negative. That's what Parts Unknown is about, Karen. You know, don't
this
pull
will
any
be fun.
Punches.
This will be fun.
Yeah, and you're guaranteed a trip around the world and $1 million if you do everything right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, don't sign on the dotted line, but here we go. The first person that introduced me to you, and he's one of my co-hosts regularly on my show, and I love him so much. He's such a great guy. Your fellow Tang Soo Dai practitioner, Mr. A.J. Perry. Tell me about him.
You know, it's funny because I just happened to chat him up today, and I told him, you better be nice to me, and you better hope I'm in a good mood, because I might talk about you tonight.
Yeah.
Listen, here's A.J. Perry. I know he still looks like he's 30, but the guy is freaking up there, man. He's up there. Let me tell you why I know this. He sat on my black belt testing panel. He judged me for my black belt. And that was, 20-some years ago. So I don't know what kind of night cream he uses on his skin. But, man, I got to get some of that stuff.
Well, I think he's a Dick Clark of karate, because Dick Clark never aged. Yeah. So.
It's amazing.
But, you know,
amazing.
You know what's really cool about AJ is that he's not only a really cool martial artist, but, you know, he's going to perform that night at the banquet a special dedication performance that he's doing just for the Sport Karate Museum to all the armed forces guys that we're honoring that night, which is over 70 Green Beret, Rangers, Blackwater, Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Marine, the works. And he's doing a special, special performance just for those guys. And I'm really excited about his performance.
Yeah. He, you know, one of the first, what would you call it, demonstrations that he did, well, this was back in Pittsburgh, and I was a GUP. In other words, in Korean, you know what that is, under black belt.
Right.
Not even a black belt. He goes out there, and he puts motorcycle spikes in his arms, and he lifts up all these buckets of water. Gary,
ouch.
You should have him do that.
Well, I you know what? He was going to do that, but I don't want any blood.
That's not a
and he promised,
table, right?
Well, he promised me to be no blood anyway, no matter what he did. So, and he was gonna step on glass, break glass, step on that glass and do a spin wheel kick, break boards. And I said, "Nah, AJ, we're gonna wait on that. Let's do something more prolific."
But he does some pretty wild things, and you know what? It's mind over matter to not bleed. He actually tells his body not to bleed. I don't know if you know people don't do that anymore. You see a lot of martial artists do some great things today. But, I mean, to actually get physical with it like that, you really have to, like, sit down and meditate and say, you're not going to bleed. I mean, he'll tell you that. So, no, you know what?
Absolutely.
I look up to him. He's a mentor. He remembers me from a white belt. So, actually, I should be nice to him because I'm sure he's got some stories about me. But God bless him. He's a great guy. Absolutely.
Cool. How about C.S. Kim, your instructor that got you the black belt? Tell me a little about him.
You know what? I got to tell you, he's probably one of the most dynamic people I've ever met in my life. And I've met some dynamic people. You know, I've met celebrities, you know, famous singers, musicians. This guy, he blows me away. I'll sit there and listen to him talk and do his spiel. I won't blink and my mouth will be open. And very few people can do that to me. But he's incredible. And he, you know, he's considered the founding father of Tung Sudo in this country. And he came over here with nothing. And he taught us, you know, I had a school with him for 10 years. He taught us how to be successful. And it's the old traditional way, too. It's like you stay at your dojang for 15 hours a day. You sleep there if you have to. You keep the door open. You always answer the phone. I mean, he's got the old-fashioned way, but, it you know, it worked. You know, I had a very successful school under him in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I appreciate him more than he will probably ever know because he's my sub of them. And, you know, you always respect and appreciate your master. So, absolutely, God bless him. I wish him the best.
Well, how about the person that influenced you as a writer? I believe you mentioned it was your teacher, one of your teachers, or principal. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had a school teacher from William Byrd High School in Vinton, Virginia. That's where I grew up.
Yes.
And I'm still in touch with him today. His name is Mr. Bill Whitaker. And
okay.
I'll still call him up. You know, there have been times I've had career choices to make, and I actually would call. He was my marketing teacher, and he taught me everything about how to get a job. He's incredible, an incredible teacher. And I would call him up sometimes and say, Mr. Whitaker, what do I do? You know, I'm 35 years old. What do I do? I mean, what do I? He, you know, he always had the best answer. Honey, you look out for number one. That's all that's going to matter. You know, he just, and he's in West Virginia now, and he's long, long retired, and he just, his health is failing. But every chance I get, I call him and say, I want you to know how much I appreciate you for what you taught me. You taught me things that you can't learn in high school or college. They were so dynamic in helping me in my career. And I always tell him thank you. Absolutely.
Well, that's great. Now, I mentioned him a little earlier, but again, people like this, we can't give them enough credit because they really are the pioneers and set the standard for all of us who write and do anything with history. And that's Mr. John Corcoran from MA Success, and also used to be the editor of Black Belt Magazine and instrumental in doing the history of sport karate or martial arts in America. Tell me about John.
Oh, Corky, I absolutely love him. I would not be where I am in martial arts as far as writing as an established writer if it wasn't for him. And I tell him that every single time I see him. I just saw him last month, 2 months ago in Vegas at the Martial Arts Super Show, and we sat down for a couple of nights and caught up, and he looks amazing. He's another one, man. You see a picture of him, he looks 35.
Yeah.
And he's got
to
be like 210.
Yeah.
<He's not looking. laughs> he looks so young in his pictures, and man, for the life of me, I just can't
if he is listening, I want to say that Karen and Gary love you, and we appreciate everything you've done for us as far as giving us our mentorship and our guff, we say, to be able to be a writer. You know, I got to make a shout-out when we mention John. We've also mentioned Century Martial Arts, and he mentioned the Super Show. You know, every year, Mike Dillard, who is my personal dear friend, steps up and supports the Sport Karate Museum. And the vision of what Century has done, not only supporting sportmartialarts.com, just publishing and also buying Black Belt Magazine recently, and, of course, doing everything they're doing, we want to say that, you know, Mike Dillard and Century Martial Arts, John Corcoran and MMA Success, they are the new people that are changing the diversity of what martial arts should be. And I hope that because they are involved with Black Belt Magazine now, that we'll go back to traditional martial arts with Black Belt and still do the MMA, but still get back to the influence of getting you know, the traditional martial arts back into the magazine. You know, I appreciate you're talking about these legends. Now, there's one other person that I want to talk about. Again, we talked about it earlier, but she's very personal to you, and Cynthia Rothrock. Tell me your relationship with her.
Cynthia is a Tung Sudo practitioner, one of them. I know she also studied Kung Fu, but she came from the very hard traditional school out of that Western Pennsylvania camp. And I just have a world of respect for her. I had a little feature role in one of her movies, and she's done like many, many, many of them. I think over 30 movies, 30 karate movies. But I was honored to do that. And actually, Corky, I call him Corky, John Corcoran, had a hand in that as well. He was very influential. And she's I mean, what can you say? She's Dragon Lady, right? She started it all,
right.
And she's this a founder in women being able to be recognized in martial arts. So there are a lot of women out there that are due respect. You mentioned Mikey Rose. She's another one. She's a legitimate fighter from the late 60s and early 70s, and she deserves a lot of credit for that.
Wait a minute. Karen. I didn't mention Mikey Rowe Moore. Mikey Rowe Moore, who in the heck is that? Now, I know she's listening. I love you, Mikey. Mikey is what I love about Mikey was she was one of the first five women ever rated, and the very first five women rated in sport karate martial arts. And she is my pure ambassador, her and her husband, Dana Moore, who travel around the country representing the Sport Karate Museum. I love Mikey Rowe Moore to death. And to see you guys together this year's anniversary, that's going to be very special. And Mikey is responsible for a lot of cool stuff. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I always see her. I give her a big hug, you know, tell her I love her because, you know, she's still tough and mean.
She just turned 75 years old, and she spars daily. Yes.
She's a tough cookie.
She is.
And she, you know,
she's the real deal.
Women like me can look at her and go, you know what? Even though she's like you said, in her 70s or whatever, she's still going at it. Set the bar, Mikey. Set it high.
She's such a role model.
Been around a long time, you know? I mean, setting that bar high for us, I'm like, wow, if they got the bar that high, I'm going to have to step up my game, you know?
I got to plug this. You'll be there, but she does an incredible seminar. It's called Fight Like a Girl, and it's open to all ages, all styles, all genders. But, it's kind of covered up. Even though she says fight like a girl, she goes into the in-depth to be able to teach anybody her no-nonsense style of self-defense. And this year she'll be featured at the seminars with Terry Williams, another great self-defense person. But Mikey Rowe Moore is very special, and I'm so glad you did mention her. She is such a sweetheart to the Sport Karate Museum.
And I'm actually hoping she'll be my bodyguard from now on.
And
so
she's
when I
cheap.
Travel, I have somebody protect me.
She's cheap. She's bodyguarded me for a drink or maybe $1. Yeah, she's
there
very cheap bodyguard.
She's tough. God bless.
Classy lady. Hey, now I've got something very exciting for my listeners and for the people who are involved with AMAA Masters Radio Pioneers. You're going to be doing a sister show on your own starting October. You're going to be a fellow radio personality again. And you're going to be doing a personal show that's produced by Hanchi Jesse Bowen. And tell me a little bit about that and what's your vision to make that work for you. It's going to be pre-recorded, but it's going to be really special. Tell me about it.
I've really been – he gave me a flight of six shows, and thank you so much, GM. I've really been tossing around how to be the most impactful and what angle to take. And some of the angles I am considering is more of the spiritual aspects of martial arts, because we don't hear a lot of that. You know, with body, mind, and spirit, that's the one side that seems to be forgotten a lot. I also want to give a good plug to the Cherokee martial artists out there and see if maybe we can do some angles with what our goal is to go in and make a difference in reservations and with the Native American tribes. Those are just some of the angles that I'm trying to hit up. That's something from my heart, and I wanted to do something from my heart. But nonetheless, I really do think you'll find it very deep. And, I'm not saying that other shows are egotistical, but mine will be non-egotistical. Professor, I don't mean you. I'm trying to hit the spiritual, more the humility aspect of martial arts. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean,
of course,
come on.
Of course.
Our industry of martial arts can be very egotistical, and I want to put that on the back burner, you know.
Yeah, well, let me share this with you. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, personally, my ego has been gone for 30, 40 years, honestly. And that's because I've won more third places than anybody in the world. but I believe this, that now with all these Hall of Fames and all these 10th degree black belts and all this incredible thing that's going on to elevate the martial arts to a level where the outside looking in are laughing at us, we need to look at the other aspect of martial arts, which I believe is the spiritual aspect. That's why I support Hanchi Jesse Bowen and his Zen and his vision of mindset. And I support you and dealing with that spiritual aspect that you can bring to the radio show. You know, you'd be surprised how many people are listening. You'd be surprised how many people are listening to us this very moment. And even though you only believe half what you read, half what you hear, and half what someone tells you, the other half is based upon what you and I talk about right now. So if we tell more people about what you're going to do, I believe that people will tune in at 9 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon and listen to Karen Eden Herdman and listen to what you have to say. I certainly will. And I believe also that you have a vision, and that's why Hanchi Bowen has asked you to do this. You know, we discuss everything, and when your name was brought up, I said yes, and there was no hesitation. I said yes. Mm. Oh, man, I'd be an honor to get her on the air and just be able to talk to her, because I believe that you have vision, and you can help with your vision and also what you can pass on. The spirituality of the American Native people needs to be touched and taught within the martial arts, and also the spirituality of martial arts needs to be constantly put in people's face. So if you do that with your show, whether you do it small, soft sell, or just consistent, then the Sport Karate Museum is behind you 350%. Now, you're going to pre-record this show so that you can have people call in, you'll have people talk, you're going to be able to handpick and choose your guests, and how many times are you going to be on, and what's your goal?
I got a flight of 6 shows starting October the 2nd, and Eastern Standard Time, it's going to be 11 in the morning, so my time, I'm in Mountain Time, it's going to be 9 a.m., but that doesn't really matter. Like we said, if you know, I'm going to try to pre-record it. I actually prefer live than pre-recording because I get too picky when I pre-record things, and I want to erase it and edit and everything, and when it's live, it's
right.
I mean, it's just too bad, you know. But I'm probably just going to make it a little easier on GM Bowen and try to go ahead and just knock out 6 of these and get some guests on and talk about a lot of the things that I don't think that we really talk about in the martial arts industry. My goal, not just with this show, Professor Gary, but with my life, is to make a difference before I leave this big blue marble. That's what I say. I do have a Facebook group, has about 4,000 people now. It's called Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration, where I do a lot of inspirational, spiritual-type talk. So if you want to see how I do this, you could probably go to Facebook and look for that group. And, of course, I would gladly let anybody in listening. But I do talk a lot about the spiritual aspects and the inspirational aspects of martial arts. If you know me from my columns, you know I write like that. Inspiration Ovation over the last 16, 17 years now, with MA Success has been very much the same thing. It's more of the spiritual, philosophical side of martial arts, and that's just who I am. And that comes from a place of me really wanting to make a difference in the world, and I say that with all sincerity. That's my goal.
With that said, I'd like to tell my listeners something very special that also you're going to be recognized for at the 25th anniversary. You know, last year we decided to do something to touch about the people of faith, and we created the Karate Angel Award, and it was given to Reverend or Pastor Mark Pagels, which is a minister of a church in Anahuac, Texas, who right now, this very minute at 9:30 at night, is working with relief and disaster people in the surrounding areas of Anahuac. This guy is a 24/7 maniac to help people, and he received the first Karate Angel Award. Now, this year, we're recognizing a couple people, and you are one of them that received the Karate Angel Award, which means your spiritual faith is very important to the museum. How do you feel about that? And how do you, that is very special. I know. Tell me about a little bit about how you feel about that and how the museum is recognizing your faith.
I got to tell you, that floors me. I know we had discussed this months ago,
yes.
And I just, you know, my heart leaped when you said that. To be honored for someone in my profession that is trying to make a difference, which has been my goal, I couldn't have even fathomed something of that nature. The Angels of Martial Arts Award to me is an honor that I will probably cherish
more than any of these other little plastic marble trophies I have behind me. I know you probably got a few plaques of your own there, Professor. But when you,
well,
when you get something,
I'm lucky.
When you get something that really just makes your heart leap, you know, that's something that you'll cherish for the rest of your life, and it's something that can be, you know, passed down as well. Or, you know, I got a kid, a 15-year-old. I hope, you know, he'll take that too and go, wow, look at my mom did a lot of things, but look, she made a difference in the world. That's what makes me proud.
Well, the Quadi Angel Award is very special, and we recognize because it's a new thing that we're doing, and being the second generation of it, it's very special. And I believe that in my heart that you're very special, and that you've got a desire to help other people. And, you know, here's something that my friend Steve Parks says every time he calls me, no matter we talk about fishing or we talk about wounded soldiers or we talk about life, he always says the same thing to me, and I love him for this. He says, Gary, when you're passionate about something, you always do it for other people. And that is really the heart of what the Sport Karate Museum is, and also the level of thinking of the people that surrounds it. As of this year, you're not only a part of what we're doing, but you're a mainstay for it. And I expect your input for the upcoming years and the routines that we do to be constantly flourishing and helping me make it better and stronger. And I want to support you. It's been a real honor talking to you tonight.
Wow.
And I can tell you this, that you know, every time I interview a lady, I get those goosebumps because I can remember when women weren't part of the martial arts. And now, years later, I'm an older person, a little bit wiser. I realize that women are not only the mainstay of what we do in the martial arts, but people like you are a force. You make the wheel turn. And I appreciate your time and taking time with me to do this interview tonight. As we close out, I'd like to ask you a question. One of the last questions is that if someone was training in martial arts for the very first time and they called a Karen Eden Herdman on the phone because they saw you on Facebook or they heard this interview, what would you tell them would be the most influential thing to walk into a karate studio or a martial arts studio and ask to become a student?
If someone were to ask me that was thinking about training or starting their training, and I actually get a lot of that, I would say, listen, just two words, just don't quit. I was not by any means a Bruce Lee kind of person when I started. I'm sure my instructors and A.J. Perry can probably tell you some pretty bad stories about me. I know Mr. Bruno could. But you know what? It all starts with the intent of your heart. And if you set that intent that you want to be a black belt, and that should be one of your intentions, just no matter what, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what kind of disagreements you may get in, just don't quit. Just keep moving forward one day at a time, one step at a time, and you will arrive so much quicker than you will ever imagine. That's probably the best advice I would give anybody.
Well, that is the best advice that I've gotten all day and probably all year, and I appreciate you sharing that with my listeners. I want you to stay tuned because I'm going to do something as the ending of the show to be part of what we're doing at the 25th, and we're doing it honoring those who serve, Karen. Very special what the military has done to and what they've done for us, and every night we go to bed it's because of these gentlemen. And I'd like to end the show with saying – who we're honoring for the Sport Karate Museum Archives event this year. And, you know, people say, well, you don't have to say their names. Well, I do, because they're very important. And part of what our celebration is to honor the armed forces. So with that said, our ending of our show tonight will be a listing of the people who are honoring who served. And I would like for everyone to understand that these people are very special. Ashton G. Woodson, Colonel Phil Torres, Silver Star, Daryl K. Stewart, George Clark, Steve Gibson, Silver Star, Billy Brammer, rest in peace, Pat Hawk Hardy, John Morris, Rusty Morris, Leslie Chapman, J. Pat Burleson, John Anderson, Irene Anderson, Aaron Smith, Stacy Love, Kevin Roy, David Cummings, Lonnie Walker, Kevin Conan Bacons, Lieutenant Colonel Craig Lightfoot, Gary Gomboski, Neil Harden, Linda Puglisi, Sam Chapman, Aaron Norris, Willie Norris, rest in peace, Danny Lane, Danny Edward Moore, Lance England, Dale Kirby Sr., Judge Roy D. Kirby, Doug Emerson, Mike Stone, Goldie Mack, Mike Sullinger, Bob Harding, Jimmy Key, Frank Rinaldo, Colonel Ike Slaughter, Or Harrison, Ty Harrison, Jason Manovich, Tristan Persico, Drustin Slaughter, Emmanuel Vivo, Daniel Munez, Rick Wingerton, Rogers Reese, Johnny Thompson, Rebecca Novak, Arnold Zip White, Steve Melton, Phil Wyman, John D. Herr, Jose Ramirez, Jimmy Anderson, Larry Arant, Kurt Brannon, Billy Newman, Dean R. Piles, Steve Vitale, Anthony J. Perry, Jacqueline Anderson, Jim Harrison, Daniel Dela Cruz, Jim Lindell, Jim Cox, Chris Harrison, Kelly R. Harrison, Ed Daniel, Roger Carpenter, Steve C. Smith. God bless America. Protecting history one warrior at a time. Please contact the www.sportquadermuseum.org for you see your help and supporting the museum. With that said, everybody have a great evening. Don't forget, next week is Troy Dorsey, and are you ready for this? That's right, Dan McDonald, and then Mr. Dean Piles and Keith D. Yates right before the Living Legends 25th Celebrity Roast. On behalf of the AMMA Radio Masters and Radio Program, producer Hansi Jesse Bowen, and our special guest tonight, Karen Eden Herdman, God bless you guys. Mahalo and aloha.
God bless.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.